Thank you, Reg. Thank you, Pam. Shall we pray together? Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together. Thank you that you promised to be with us when we meet in your name. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would open our minds and open our hearts to hear and understand what you want us to take away today. Amen. Well, today, the 100th anniversary of the end of the First World War is, of course, a day to look back. But it's also a day to look around and a day to look forward. We look back with sadness and also with gratitude as we think of and acknowledge our debt to those who fought for us and paid the price for our freedom in their bodies and souls. We give thanks for their courage and their devotion to their comrades and to their country. And we give thanks also for those who did not fight, for women who served at home or in hospitals, and for the conscientious objectors who witnessed to peace at great personal cost. And as well as looking back, we look around at a world which is still very much at war. Fighting rages in some parts, whilst in others war seems dangerously close. And even in settled nations such as ours, many neighbourhoods and even households are effectively battlegrounds. Just last week we heard in the news of the 250th fatal stabbing in the UK this year, with the death of 16-year-old John Ogunjobi. But we should also remember the non-fatal violence and the words said in anger and unkindness that cause so much harm, the prejudice that comes so naturally, the polarisation of communities, the selfishness and greed that is so much part of our everyday experience. Very real battles rage, even in the seemingly most genteel and civilised of places. But as well as looking back and looking around, we should also be looking forward. As we seek to learn from the past and be realistic about the present, what is it that we can reasonably hope for in the future? Well, the soldiers, sailors and airmen who fought, and the women and men who kept things going at home, in the factories, shops, railways and farms, they were fighting for something that they believed in. Many of them went through terrible times, but most of them believed it was worth it. The Great War of 1914 to 1918 was referred to as the war to end all wars, and many people hoped that following the armistice, the world would be a better place. But the cycle of bloodshed has continued, and there have been millions of deaths since then, as wars continued to be fought over territories, resources, and power. But I'd suggest that those external disputes are really symptoms of something much deeper. I'd suggest that the root cause of all war is the human heart. It's from the human heart that selfishness and greed, folly, pride and anger come. And it's these things that lead to the damage in the relationships and communities that we see around us, and with depressing frequency lead to the all-out horror of war. Despite the advances in science and technology and the arts, human beings continue to wreak damage on one another and the environment. But if the problem with the human heart is the diagnosis, what is the cure? Is there anything that can be done? Is humanity doomed? Or is there hope? Well, left to our own devices, it seems to me there's little grounds for optimism. And as a sufferer of heart disease cannot perform open heart surgery on themselves, so it seems that humanity cannot cure itself. We are in need of a physician of the soul. Unable to save ourselves, we're in need of a saviour. And at the heart of the Christian faith is the belief that there is such a saviour, there is such a healer, a victor even, who is victorious over the forces that would enslave and destroy us. God in Jesus came to save us. The Bible says that there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And as we remember those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom, we should also remember the one that died not just for his friends, but for his enemies too. Jesus came to the world to rescue and to save. And if we accept his offer of rescue, then his death buys our freedom. His sacrifice means life after death for us and peace with God for eternity. See, where all else seems hopeless, the Christian is hopeful. And not in just a sort of a wishful way, I hope for something that will not happen perhaps, but our hope is something we can have with confidence. The sureness of the Christian hope is based on the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. See, if Christ died and was raised again, it proves that death is defeated. It proves that the claims of Jesus are true. It proves that nothing good is impossible. It means that the promised new age of peace will come about. As we heard in that video reading from the book of Revelation, the Bible looks forward to a time when our hope for peace will be fulfilled. In Revelation chapter 21, St. John sees a perfect world from which everything that is false, corrupt and violent is banished and all wounds are healed. It speaks of the old order of things passing away and of God making all things new. It describes that new order where there is no more hostility, nor fighting, nor suffering, nor dying. It speaks of humans being reconciled to one another and to God. But we don't know how or when God will bring about this new creation, when he will bring it to completion, but we do see glimpses of it here on earth, when the glory of that promised future breaks through into the present. Each of the individuals in that video that we saw earlier, each of those individuals is someone for whom that promised future has become real. Jesus spoke of a grain of the mustard seed that grows into a tree, or the tiny piece of dough, of yeast that causes the whole lump of dough to rise. And one by one, God's people catch the vision of God's future, and the world begins to change. Living today in the light of our hope for tomorrow, we are called to be those who lead the way in forgiveness, who love and care for the victims of war and other cruelty, and who work for peace and reconciliation. The old order of things passes away, and God makes everything new. I'm just going to close with a prayer. God in heaven, as we remember those who have fallen on our behalf and the great sacrifice that they have paid, help us to be conscious of and thankful for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ that offers life after death, peace with God, and the promise of that new age where there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain, and where you, Lord, will dwell amongst your people. Amen.